And if you dig what I do here on Coast to Coast, when I come in and hang out on the weekends with all of you, check out my other show. It is called Fade to Black. It's very simple. Just click on my name right there at coasttocoastam.com. Click on my name. It'll take you over to my website for Fade to Black, JimmyChurchRadio.com, and you will see that we broadcast from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time live right before Coast to Coast, Monday through Thursday. I don't broadcast on Friday. You know why? Because when George takes the night off, I got to be in here. So it's all done by design. You can go hang out with me, get 7 hours of paranormal conspiracy talk and information and knowledge every night of the week. And if I don't get you where you need to go Monday through Thursday, then I'll be right in here at Coast to Coast on the weekends. But it's very simple. And you can follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio. Simple. I'm a big social media guy. Of course, Twitter is always live to my left, whether it's here at Coast to Coast or over at Fade to Black. And I am just heavy into it. So if you need to get a hold of me or reach out or any comments, right there on Twitter at J Church Radio. With that, I'm looking at the phones. Look at that, Nathan. Is that insane? Everybody wants to talk to Laura. And wait a minute here. Was Laura just talking about Amanda, her friend that she had to call, who she saw in the parallel world? I think I have Amanda on the line. So we're going to talk to Amanda. How did she get through? If that is indeed her, I'm in a parallel world right now. And this is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, Laura C. Cantu. And Laura, this popped in on Twitter during the break. This is from David and Mr. Mortgage, by the way. David said, Jimmy, it would have been nice if she brought the phone back. Now, yeah, right. And what about that? Do you think it's possible? And if you did it again, could you maybe sneak something into your pocket?
I don't think so. No, I think that looking back at it, just from now, I don't know for sure, but being logical about this, I think that possibly my consciousness was transferred into another body that was me in another parallel universe.
Now, so, yeah, and I get that. And are you ready to? I got to look at the clock here. We've got a lot of phone calls here we got to get through tonight. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay, I see somebody here. I don't know if it is who I think it is, but I'm going to go to Amanda in Phoenix, Arizona. Amanda, is this the Amanda that has been talked about all night tonight?
Hi, Jimmy. It's good to talk to you again. Yes, it is.
Well, are you going to say hi to Laura?
Well, hi, Laura.
Okay. Are you guys even laugh alike? That's kind of scary. Okay, yeah, right. Amanda, welcome to Coast to Coast.
And many times I've tried to call in Coast to Coast to talk to, you know, George or tell stories or whatever. I have never gotten through,
and
ever.
And tonight you did. Well, welcome. And, myself and a million other people tonight have heard a lot about you. And what did you think? I know you've got something to say. You called in. But what did you think when Laura called you that day and started to recount what she went through? What were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking that my friend has had another cool experience. And how awesome is it for me that I have a friend who goes out and does all this crazy stuff and then calls me and tells me about it.
Well, there.
So I'm like, yeah, cool. All right. What'd you do this time? Let's hear it.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. All right. Fair enough. And plus, you know, your friend is hanging out with you in another world. And
right?
Laura, was Amanda as cool in the other version of her as she is here?
She was. She was just as cool. But I don't know what job she had there.
Ah, okay. All right, Amanda, you called in. What have you got for us tonight?
So this has been driving me crazy because I knew that Laura was coming on Coast tonight. And I was like, dude, you have got to tell Jimmy about what you saw Eddie Seti. You've got to tell him. He's going to
Okay.
Well, bowel control. So you've got to tell him. So this will be awesome. And all night, she's not told you about her eucetic experience. So
okay. I'm now.
Call in.
Okay. There you go. Amanda, stay right there as I give Laura a hard time. Laura, you and I hung out for a week straight. I thought that we experienced everything together. You, Rita, myself, and Christine, and 200 other people. What is it that you're not telling me?
Well, you were busy, and I didn't want to interrupt you, but I saw Bigfoot.
Well, okay.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it is. No big deal.
Yeah, well, up at East City, it's no big deal. That's just an everyday occurrence, but tell me about it. Was it near the footprints that we uncovered?
It was walking toward the footprints that you uncovered. It was the very first day we arrived.
Right.
And I saw it take like 3 or 4 steps out in the field, and then it disappeared. And then it came back and took 3 or 4 more steps, and then it disappeared. And it came back and took 3 or 4 more steps and disappeared. And it was walking straight over to that corner over there.
How big? Okay. What day did you arrive?
That was Tuesday.
Yeah, you got there when we did, right? Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday the 7th. Yeah.
Was it during the day? Was this at night?
It was, I think it was close to when the sun was going to go down.
Okay.
It wasn't dark, but it wasn't, like, full-on bright either.
Were you alone?
I had Mark with me, and after the, I can't remember if it was the first time, I was like, what is that? And he's like, what? And he was looking around everywhere, and I'm like, that? And he's like, where? And I'm like, that! So he never got to see it because it kept, like, disappearing and appearing and disappearing and appearing, and he didn't know where I was pointing, just like when you were telling people where to look for the UFO.
Mm-hmm.
So he was looking to my left, and I was like, no, he's to the right, you know. So
How big?
It looked like a really tall man. Like I would say probably 8 or 9 feet.
Oh, that's a really tall man. 8 or 9 feet. Yeah. No kidding.
I think so. Maybe 7. I don't really know. Okay, how tall is two?
How tall is who?
Chewbacca.
Oh, I don't know.
He's about that tall.
He's about that tall.
That's longer arms. Well, the arms are longer.
You know, the amount of sightings that have gone down at East City, when I have been there, I have not seen Bigfoot. I've seen big feet in the ground, but I've never seen Bigfoot. The amount of sightings that go down in a week at East City, it's pretty mind-blowing. Something's going on. People are seeing something. I don't know what it is. I really don't. Clyde Lewis had his sighting up there, and Lorcan O'Toole, and of course, not you have. I've probably got 5, 6, 7, 8 friends that have all seen Bigfoot at East City.
Yep. I didn't even know what I was looking at first. And then I was talking to Matthew Ryan about it. And I was like, well, you know, it was this thing that kept, you know, disappearing and appearing. And he's like, oh, yeah, they're known to phase in and out. And I was like, oh, really? Like, I thought it was my imagination. That's why I didn't mention it.
The color. What was the color?
Tannish, like a tan.
Hmm. Yeah, that's extraordinary.
It wasn't the gray that Slattery saw. It was more tan.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So, yeah. Amanda, have you had any paranormal experiences of your own, either with Laura or by yourself?
Yeah. But again, I don't want to hijack the show. This is Laura's show, and it's, you know, your guys' time, and honestly, a lot of my stories, I think, are better told over beer than over the radio.
There you go. Well, we will do that, okay?
Awesome.
Amanda, enjoy the rest of your Sunday morning.
All right, man. You have a good night. Bye,
you
Laura.
Too.
See you later. Bye, Amanda.
Wow, isn't she cool? Wow.
Yeah, she's really cool.
Yeah, that's that is right on the money. Let's go
she
to...
planes and works on helicopters.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Let's go to Dave in Bristol, Virginia. Dave, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to C2C. Who's this? see an alternate reality. This could be my show. Isn't that amazing? That's what's great about alternate realities.
Wow, Dave, well played, my friend.
How you doing, sir?
Yeah, well played. I don't know where I'm at. Laura, do you know where we are?
No, I don't. Whenever he came on, I just, I don't know.
Dave, what's on your mind tonight?
10, who's this?
Yeah, exactly. Dave, what's on your mind?
Laura, I heard you say that, you know, you didn't believe that the reality that we know is actuality. I agree with you. Here's why. Unlike you, I can't just project myself into, you know, alternate, you know, realities and whatnot. So I had to do it with DMT. So, anyway,
DMT.
Okay.
Yes, DMT. So immediately with my experience, and what was so profound to me, and it was just very clear that there's clearly alternate realities, ones that are around us that we don't perceive or just can't perceive. But in my experience, I was guided off by like what appeared to be like an Aztec or Mayan guy. But it didn't say a word, all in like decorative garb. It was the craziest thing. I could tell he was very, very primitive, but as far as knowledge, knew way more than me. But all of a sudden, I looked down, and there was four or five transparent layers, they were like geometric and fractal shapes and patterns, in which I realized each layer, they were like semi-transparent. And I realized each layer was its own functioning reality or universe, if you will, just mapped out geometrically that I can perceive that way. And it was the craziest thing. And that's, I mean, I was just sure that's what it was. And then all of a sudden, I was in some type of space. I looked up, and from light years away, there was like, it was basically a head on a tether. And it was a biomechanical head, and it was female, and you know, I could tell it was a female, like mouth portions, and had like all of these like metal things. There was no eyes. There was no eyes at all. But this thing was looking at me and judging me up and down in my being. And so I didn't say a word. And then I got to think like everything was okay. And I literally asked, is it okay if I go back? And all of a sudden I came to, I was looking out in my yard, and I had a profound sense.
Dave, you have to quit moving the phone around.
Sorry, I had a profound sense that I was just, there was a connection to everything after I asked to come back, and I could clearly tell, yes, there are alternate realities. Yes, sometimes they could be accessed, and yeah, it was just the craziest thing that there ever was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dave, very interesting experience there. And when it comes to, I've never, you know, experienced DMT, Laura, but there are those out there that when they share their experience with DMT, I am sure that they are experiencing another reality, something interdimensional, maybe parallel, but certainly a world that does exist. And the experiencers out there who document who they talk to, what they see and what they experience are similar from all around the world, nearly exact and identical.
Yeah, I've never had DMT either. But it as he was talking, but I don't know if you ever get shown things, but I could clearly see that the portals that he was looking at, that they actually were kind of interdimensional portals. At least that's what I saw being shown to me, that is a way to travel more astrally than physically, though.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. Let's go to Dave. He's a trucker in Tucson. Dave, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, one of the phenomenons that I've heard spoken of on Coast to Coast and elsewhere is people experiencing in another vehicle that would have struck them like in an intersection, but it went right through them as if though like it was a ghost vehicle and like it was in another dimension. And there's been, you know, several of these accounts that have been shared. And then when people look out of the corner of their eye and they see someone or something, but then it's not there. And recently, a few months ago, there was an article, scientific finding that cats and dogs can see in a different resonance, a different vibration, that they may be able to see in a vibration we cannot perceive, because the cones of our eyes aren't designed to see in that vibration wavelength. And I think all these things are a part of what you're talking about. And for instance, I have a dash cam on my car, and on my 60th birthday this year, my girlfriend and my 89-year-old mother and I were in my car. We were going to go out to eat dinner, and we entered an intersection, and a big black pickup truck should have T-boned us, and I shouldn't be alive right now. And we were in shock, and we went to the restaurant and stopped, and we were all talking about what happened. And then I went back and looked at my dash cam, and the time is missing from the dash cam, from the time we got off the off-ramp, went through the intersection, and then the dash cam recorded when we pulled into the restaurant, into the parking lot.
Well, Dave, let me jump in right there, because your call's breaking up, and I also want to have Laura respond really quick. Laura, we've got about a minute and a half. Peripheral vision, objects, people, beings, you know, in the sight of our vision. I think we all experience that. But dogs and cats seeing at another frequency and another vibration, all of this suggests, you know, in the ghost vehicle part, all of this suggests interdimensionality, doesn't it?
Yeah, and whenever I told you that, you know, these beings come and talk to me about all this book stuff, the reason that I think it's getting so popular right now and it's so important right now is because the veils are thinning, and there's going to be a lot more experiences like this, I think.
Are we ready for it?
You know, when you asked me last time if we were ready for it, at that time I didn't think so. But there's been so much shift that has been happening lately. Like, even in the past 4 days, since Sunday of last week, there's been so many shifts that I think we are actually getting prepared. And there's been a lot of activity, at least in, you know, with the other worlds and stuff like that, getting us prepared.
Yeah.
What's our job to do is start looking inward. So I'll tell you more about that later.
Yeah, we got to take a break right here, but I totally agree. And the way that science and the headlines and in the news has been talking about all of these things, it is preparing us. I think we are ready and we can handle it. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, more with Laura C. Cantu after this short break. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. We've been talking to our second guest tonight, Laura C. Cantu. We did it all tonight. Parallel worlds, UFOs, Bigfoot, little bit of everything. And we have a full rack of phones in front of us. So I'm just going to say, hang on. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We're going to get to all of your phone calls with Laura C. Cantu right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm here with Jimmy Church. It is now Sunday morning, and our guest is Laura C. Cantu. And Laura, you have a special promo code for the Coast audience tonight for your book. Tell us how to use it and where to go.
Actually, we have a website called Wonders Handbook. It's WANDERERS, handbook.com. And the coupon code is COAST, all in capital letters, COAST, and it'll give you half off of some of the things that we offer on the website.
Thank you so much for doing that for the audience. Again, promo code is COAST, and the Wanderer's Handbook website is accessible through yours too as well, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
You can go to my website, and you can get the Wonders Handbook from there.
There you go. Promo code is COAST, all uppercase, COAST. Now, let's get straight back to the phones. Laura, I'm going to let you know now, we've got a lot of calls in front of us. So I'm going to go from the oldest, and let's go here. Let's go west to Cheryl in Gold Bar, Washington. Cheryl, you're up next.
Hi, can you hear me, Jimmy?
I got you, Cheryl.
I'm at the church. God bless you. Let me in. Knock, knock. Laura, I had the same experience as a child. I was wondering, do you feel like you were chosen as a child as an abductee or if you have an implant? And I also wondered what happened to your dogs.
Okay, so talking about as a child, I did have a lot of these things happen as a child. I had a lot of experiences like this where, you know, you see the little men around you and you can see things that other people can't see and things like that. My dogs, when I woke up in the reality that I'm here now, they were with me. So that's one of the ways that I determined that I was in the right place again.
There you go. Yeah, and thank you for the phone call, Cheryl. Let's go to Wildcard Mike in Wyoming. Mike, you're up next.
Okay, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Mike. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm going to try and condense this real quick. I've got two short stories, and I'm not sure if it's going to follow the storyline or not, but I'm going to hit you up with them and let Laura kind of tell me yes or no.
Okay, Mike, do me a favor. Give me one of the short stories so we don't run into the end of the show. How's that?
Okay. It's kind of hard to make a distinction between the two. But the first one, I was on a planet where the colors were just super vibrant. This guy was riding his horse. It was like back in the fur trapper days. And I'm following along with him. He has to make a decision. He comes to bend in the river, and he plunges his horse into the water. And then his son evidently comes around the bend in a canoe with huge fish hanging over the edge of this canoe and hollering for his dad. And it goes from there to I'm on another aircraft of some sort, and we're looking down on dinosaurs. And I'm preparing this young lad that was with me to do his studies and get ready for bed. And I got both of them in with real quick. So,
Mike, was this real or a dream?
No, it was a dream, but it was so vivid that I just couldn't. I mean, it's been with me for 3 years. I mean, it's just like I saw it last night.
Yeah, that's cool. You know what? That sounds like a fun dream to me. And Laura, when you hear about Mike's experience, dreaming like that so vivid, what do you suggest? And to the audience that has these types of dreams that seem absolutely real.
Well, whenever I have those dreams, I usually look for the symbology in them to try to find out what it is that they're trying to tell me about the life that I'm living now. Like, is there a message in it for me? Now, sometimes if they're vivid and they're like prophecy and predicting the future dreams, then I tell other people, I'm like, hey, you know, I had this dream about these things happening just in case they happen.
Right.
But most of the time I look for symbology in dreams.
Let's go to Wild Card Joe, right here in Van Nuys, California. Joe, you're up next.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, Lori. Back in the 70s, I was projecting a thought, a thought, metaphysical thought, to see if I could pretend that I crossed the street and I got hit by a car and got run over. And so it didn't happen, but I went home, and I was living with my mom, and I went upstairs to my room, and all of a sudden I heard a phone call come in, and my mom answered, and mentioning my name that her son was run over by a car and got killed. And she said, no, he's upstairs in his room. And it was kind of strange, but this is the effect that I was trying to get. I was also reading a lot of Carl Castaneda.
Yeah, very.
Metaphysics.
So, Joe, are you saying that you projected the thought into others' minds?
To to a reality in the daytime. It was in the daytime.
But you didn't you didn't die. You didn't get hit by a car.
No.
You came home and talked to your mom.
What happened, I think, is I created a dimension.
Yeah.
Where I was able to observe it from the outside.
Have you done it again?
I've done other things. Done other things where I've communicated with, I tried it with the extraterrestrials, I asked them if they could take my glasses away, and all of a sudden I had developed cataracts, and then I went through the surgery, and now I don't have to wear glasses.
Man, you've got a powerful mind on you, Joe.
That's what the family's always been saying.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you so much. What part of Van Nuys? Give me the cross streets.
Sherman Way and Van Nuys, by police station.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, by Super King Market.
Yes.
I'll talk to you, Joe. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See, I wanted to verify that he was actually from Van Nuys. You like that, Laura?
Yeah.
You see how I did that?
I did.
Let's go to Charles in Elgin, Texas. Charles, you're up next on Coast.
Hey there. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate this very much. I wanted to ask Laura, you know, I've had a thing happen in, the year before last. I think I had a really amazing reality shift. I'm still feeling like I'm still in slightly different reality than a very different reality than I was in maybe, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. But maybe not as different as Laura's was. Thing is, I'm kind of wondering, I have been trying to get to shift to a reality where my dad still was alive, and I had been doing this, and then what happened was I actually managed to do it, and then it only lasted for a short period. It's sort of like I was there, and then
I see where you're going with this, Charles. You want to know how Laura does it.
Well, yeah, how can you extend that time, or how can you do it so that, yeah.
Yeah, I got you, Charles. Okay. I got you. Laura, how do you pull it off?
Okay, so this is actually bringing me to a point that I did want to talk about anyway, is how to have these experiences and how to pull it off. We talk about disclosure, and a lot of us are looking for things to come from the outside. I work very much on the inside. I work with trying to find my false belief system and my motivations for everything that I do. And I try to correct any kind of imbalances that are in there. And once you start, what the key is to finding out what your true self is, who you truly are, which all of us are made of love and things like that, which makes your vibration much more clear. And once your vibration is much more clear, then you have more abilities to do the things that you want to do.
Very interesting. I hope that helps.
Yeah, and you start seeing and interacting with beings, too. Like people want to talk to extraterrestrials and things. We live in a very dense planet, and you can imagine that if you're like a vacuum cleaner, if someone tries to get too close to our planet and comes into the density, they could get sucked in and stuck here. So it's up to us to break out, to raise our vibration, to raise our consciousness, to live the truth of who we are so that we can meet them somewhere in the middle.
I totally agree with that. And the more that we experience, and when we always hear, you know, you have to have an open mind. I don't think you have to have an open mind. If I think the best thing to happen to anybody is it's more effective if they don't expect it, if they have a closed mind and they don't know what's coming. That's when you have somebody awakened.
Yep. I've actually studied science and been so much into science that, like, I'm like, energy? No, that's not real.
Right.
But, apparently it is. But to answer your question more clearly, yes, work on yourself, get your vibration more clear, and make that decision. There's a way that you can make a decision within yourself that's very clear and direct, and you decide what you participate in, because we all create our own reality.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you can change whatever it is, that reality that you want to enjoy, pursue, or have a vision of, you can do it.
Yep,
absolutely. Let's go.
Assistance to do it too.
We've got time for maybe a 1.5 more calls. Let's go to Don in Austin, Texas. Don, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, Laura. You said something when you went to the alternate dimension that there was no law enforcement, no police. It was just civil servants.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What would you make of today, my 10-year-old daughter and I are driving down the road, and we see all these speed traps, and we started having a discussion, and it became very clear that, you know, we're paying law enforcement to write us tickets. No, nobody dies, but they're constantly giving tickets, and it's kind of adding kind of misery and interference into people's, you know, more enlightened rhythms. And I don't know what that means, but I thought it was a strange topic be discussing with my daughter this morning, but then when you said it wasn't in that other dimension,
yeah, I get you, Don. Mm-hmm. And also, it's called coincidences too, as well. You don't ignore those, Don. But yeah, very,
never.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about that, Laura. Right, he's going through that with his daughter, has a conversation about it. And then, boom, turns around and listens to Coast Tonight and hears that. That's when you start to pay attention to the world around you. You don't ignore certain things. Okay, we got time for one more call. Let's go to George.
Can I say something about that?
What's that? Yeah, go ahead.
I would say that that's an opportunity to look at the false belief systems you have in place about how the police operate here. Because whatever vibration you hold for them, that's what's going to be true for you. So you start supporting them as being more civil servant related, and they must, when you change, everyone and everything must change around you, or they must fall away, because you decide the reality you participate in.
That's exactly right. George in Corpus Christi, you're up next on Coast.
Yes, Ms. Kent, how similar was your experience to that movie Contact with Jodie Foster? I mean, she went into another dimension. It was supposed to have been a machine that put her there, but it seemed like the movie's fascinating. It's one of my favorite movies. And the second question is, what you saw at East Eddy, could it have been an interdimensional? And I'll take my whole left off the phone, offline.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, God, two great questions. Let's go with Contact first.
Okay, I saw that a long time ago, and no, my experience was not like hers. As far as I remember, she was very calm about the whole thing, and I was freaking out. So at least I can't remember the movie really well, but I do remember, like, she went to this weird place that seemed dreamlike, and her dad was there. Is that right? Go ahead.
Yeah, she went to a black hole, like a wormhole, through a craft, and it was an energy field that was dropped into the wormhole and taken to another galaxy, like another world for sure, and hooked up with her dad that she hadn't seen since she was a little girl.
I have had experiences with the wormholes, but not this time. This time it was just like a snap, like you're just there. I don't remember traveling there. And then it wasn't a dream. It was not like a dream. The colors weren't the same. It wasn't lovely like this nice beach.
And
like this world.
The second question was about Bigfoot being interdimensional.
Yeah, I didn't even know what I was looking at. And again, I was like, well, Mark didn't see it. I always thought that if I met Bigfoot, it would be just like coming up and petting my dog. I'd never, ever heard that Bigfoot, I've never studied Bigfoot, but I never heard that it wasn't just like an animal, you know? So when it disappeared and came back, and then I was talking to Matthew Ryan about it, I was like, oh, well, I guess that's probably what it was, because it was tall and hairy.
Well, yeah, and this is what I find fascinating about that, Laura, is I have heard so many eyewitness accounts that were similar to yours that I know. When I hear somebody say, well, you know what? It just kind of phased in and phased out. I'm okay with it. I don't have another explanation. And when you think about it, we haven't found a body, you know, a corpse or anything like that. And is that why? That this is just purely an interdimensional situation and there are no bodies to be found?
I would guess that you're probably right about that.
Except for the footprints. How do those happen? I don't know. I don't know. Those footprints were amazing, weren't they?
Yeah, that was awesome. Especially since I saw him walking toward that area, and then you found him over there. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I can't give credit. It was the kids. We had four young men up there, Jax, Phoenix, Ethan, and Sean, running around chasing grasshoppers, and they found the footprints and came up to me. Hey, Jimmy, we found some Bigfoot prints. Can we show them to you? And that's how it happened. Laura, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. It was just an amazing conversation, and I can't wait to get you back on Coast to Coast. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, too.
You too.
Have a great weekend.
Laura C. Cantu. And this wraps another Saturday night, Sunday morning here on Coast to Coast. And again, you can click on my name over at Coast to Coast AM and head over and check out my other show, Fade to Black. With that, I want to thank Nathan, Donna, Greg, Sean, Lex, Chris, George, Tommy, Lisa, and Stephanie. And, of course, my beautiful wife, Rita. And with that, this is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Go Beckley Tappy.